Such a situation is found in the third chapter of Acts, an account of an individual. It says, doesn't say anything about how old he was, only it is implied that he had been there for a long time in this lame condition. And so we find this individual hoping only that each day is his existence is probably that he drags himself up to the gate and hopes for the mercy of those who would pass by just to drop in his hand something that would give him existence from day to day. And on this particular day, two unusual individuals were coming up the path towards the gate of the temple. And it says as Peter fastened his eyes upon this lame individual, he looked back at Peter expecting something. And what a surprise he had in store for him. Because instead of alms, which he was used to getting, he received something that he probably never expected in his life, in his wildest imagination of his dreams, that he would walk as he had never walked a day of his life. But as Peter looked upon him in compassion, he didn't have a purse full of silver and gold, so he spoke to this individual laying by the gate. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he didn't just jump up and walk. It's an interesting thing the way that God works. This individual that had been lame from life, that was expecting gold and silver at the command of the mouth of an apostle of Jesus Christ, did not just immediately jump up and walk. It says Peter walked over and took him by the hand and raised him up. And as he raised him up, he leaped to his feet and shouted praises to God because he was healed and he could walk. Now maybe there's no significance to you as you read through this, but to me, and I think to many of my brethren in the ministry, as we minister to people, we see the needs of people. We see the needs that they have of healing, not only of their physical body, but their spiritual body. We see people who are depressed and sad, who need to be encouraged and uplifted. But brothers and sisters, sometimes we have to do more than just say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up." We have to go over there and take them by the hand. That act of faith, that stepping forth and taking some action, is many times what the Lord requires of us. Not just lip service, not just thinking that we will speak and command the oceans. But you know, when your faith is really tested, I guess maybe someone could have said, you know, if Peter had any doubts, which sometimes perhaps he had had when he tried to walk on the water and various different things, but if he had any doubts in this case, as he commanded him, he may have just wondered a little bit when a lame man stayed laying there on the ground. But no, he didn't. He reached forth and lifted him up. And as the man rose, the strength of the healing flowed through his body through the joint act of them working together. Last night, Brother Bill preached a very good sermon to us with some things that I hope that we are able to walk away from this place and retain. And he taught in there about the fruits of the vineyard. And I think as each one of us no doubt have studied that parable, and we have read those things, and we have thought about those fruits, and perhaps we have various different ideas about them. But brothers and sisters, we are living in a time when this tree that we are a part of must bring forth fruit. We must bring forth fruit. And as I listen to the testimonies of different ones today, and as you listen to the sermons that are preached around and about, and you see people trying to encourage others, let's go out and do some work. Let's go out and encourage people to repent and to change their lives. These are fruits. But first, the fruit must start in our lives. The fruit that we must manifest first is fruit that would come from within us. This morning, we had a beautiful service where two young sisters came into the kingdom. They were baptized. They had the laying on of hands. They have been given what each one of us have received. Every opportunity to be fruitful. They have received the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And having experienced that, they are now ready to cope with the problems of life and bring forth fruit. Now, the fruit that I am thinking of in this particular case is linked very close with this gift of the Holy Ghost that we talk about. There's a song that is sung sometimes that says, "What fruit have you gleaned for the Master?" And I think many times, and I know I have been guilty of this in my life, that many times as we think of all the challenges that lie out here in this world ahead of us, the things that need to be accomplished, we are almost overcome by the greatness of the task that lies before us. Either that, or we just don't even believe we'll accomplish it. Because if we believe we will accomplish the task of preaching this gospel in its purity in all of the earth, then the challenge that lies before this small group of people is almost something that would make you shake and tremble and be fearful of. The fruit that we must have to accomplish this task must begin with us allowing this gift of the Holy Spirit, which is within us, to begin to show itself. It says here in the 5th chapter of Galatians, and I know you're familiar with this, but we'll just go over it a little bit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you think about that. And, you know, so much of my life, and I know the lives of others, they have thought, "I'm just not very patient. I'm going to have to work on that." I think one of our sisters talked about her impatience this morning. Or maybe it was this afternoon. The meeting was quite long. Sometime in the service this morning. But regardless of that, these different fruits of the Spirit that are spoken of here are, if you name each one of them, you find that somewhere along that line, somebody at least would probably have a problem with at least one of them. Maybe even a couple. But the thing that's so beautiful about this, and so different than what we expect sometimes, is for that individual who has a problem with impatience, it's not that they have to really strive to not to be impatient anymore. And maybe this sounds a little strange. For that individual that has problems loving, it's not that they really have to just try to learn to love people. Do you learn to love people? It's that they allow themselves to be emptied out in such a way of those things that are within them that the Spirit of God can come into their life, and when the Spirit of God is in your life, then the fruits of those spirits are there. And that's why they're called fruits. And so when our brother says, last night and preached the word and says that the Lord went out to the vineyard and he went to this part and to the nethermost part and he looked in these various different places and he said, over here there's no fruit and over here there's no fruit. What's happening to my vineyard? He has not seen in this vineyard these different fruits. He is not finding in this vineyard love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and goodness and patience and temperance. And so when we think of the task that lies before us and we think that there's a world out here that we need to preach the gospel to, and we think of the great challenges that there is out there, we might think of the great challenge that there is right here with each one of us individually, that we might be so conditioned and filled with the Spirit of God that these fruits are manifest in our life. So that when the Lord looks at this vineyard, when he comes down here seeking to find fruit, that he will find in this small vineyard those who are bringing forth some of this fruit for the Master. And again, If I could have something that you could see that you would probably understand better, I could have on this side over here a good solid rock, and on this side over here a nice big equal size chunk of modeling clay, like they used to call it when I was a young lad. And we could say, if you had this chunk of rock and you were told to make a vessel of honor out of it, that you would have quite a chore in front of you to take that rock and make anything out of it. You would have to heat it under intense heat, and maybe out of a large rock you might get a drop of something that you could work with that would be malleable. But over here, this piece of clay that could look ugly, you could take that piece of clay and you could shape it, and you could make it, if you knew how to, and put it in the proper place, a beautiful vase or something that would be a vessel of honor. This is how we become spirit-filled, is by being like this piece of clay, willing to be molded and shaped. So often in our lives, we're so much like this rock over here. We're just kind of hard, and we just aren't easy to be dealt with, and we're not willing to be shaped, and we want to be right, and we come into positions and into meetings and we become determined that what we believe everyone must see the way we do. We're not willing to be shaped. So how can God take and shape us into a vessel of honor if we're like this rock over here, that we're so set and so hard that you just would have to take a hammer or great heat to melt it down? I must, and you must, each one of us, as we really survey, I mean get down to business thinking about what we're doing, we must become more like this piece of clay over here, that we can be molded and shaped and made into a vessel of honor. And this is done as we yield ourselves. The molding process is that Spirit of God acting in our life. You know, each one of you have been in meetings, or maybe driving in your car, or just at home, when the Spirit of God comes upon you. And your greatest weakness, whether it would be whatever it might be, it just vanishes away. Because when the Spirit of God comes over you, you're filled with love and joy and peace, and you're patient with everybody. That's why when we have a good meeting and the Spirit's really there, you just want to go up and hug everybody and tell everybody how much you love them, because the Spirit of God works that way. It's a loving process that takes people that differ on points of doctrine or whatever it might be, and it mellows them down to where they just love one another, and they want to just hug each other and smile at one another, and it becomes a beautiful thing when the Spirit of God is in your life and in your heart. And so, if this chunk of clay here can be molded and shaped by the Spirit process of God, then those fruits are there. And the vineyard begins to be beautiful, because if each one of us were a tree and each one of us were filled with these fruits and we were bringing forth these things, and the Lord of the vineyard came down and he looked at it and said, oh, what a beautiful vineyard this is. Look at the love. Look at the joy. Look at the peace. Look at the long-suffering that's here. But so often it's different than that. So often in my own life, we study the Word of God to know something, to experience something, so that we can build up our spiritual self. And we read and we understand things differently many times. And sometimes, you know, it becomes almost a matter of pride that you're right about some particular point of doctrine. And, you know, compared to a world that needs help like that lame man by the gate at Jerusalem, compared to a world that needs help, the understanding on some of these points of doctrine doesn't amount to anything. But love does. Joy does. Patience does. These things that reach into your heart and affect the way you deal with your husband or your wife or your children or your neighbor, those things make a difference. And yes, we want to have a unity. And we look forward to the time when we will all see eye to eye, and that Zion will begin to be established. And we look forward to these things. But sometimes it's just like the job that lies before us. We want to get out into the heat of the battle before we've even went to basic training. What a challenge lies before this people. I know, no doubt, those of you who have heard me speak before perhaps tire of that. But, you know, a lot of you drove further than I did to get here. But I wouldn't even bother to drive the day that I drove to get here if this wasn't something that meant something to me. And I know you feel the same way. It's just really that we need to kind of get down to the basics of things. This job, if you want to call it a job, that God has for us to do, it's going to be accomplished. There's no doubt in my mind that it's going to be accomplished. The only question is the question that was put to you last night. Will I, or will you, be part of it when it begins to be accomplished? Pray that you will be part of it, we were admonished last night. Pray that you will be able to stand these things that are coming upon us in these last days. We were also admonished to read the things that Jesus did and pay attention to them. And I want you to take that home with you. Read those things, because in them lies many secrets that will unlock doors to us as individuals in our lives, of how that God can reach down and touch us and work in our lives and help us to be able to be overcomers, to, if you want to say it, to move mountains. I'm kind of drifting around here this evening, but I hope that I can somehow say something to you that will help you to realize the seriousness of our problems. There are things that's going on in the world, television programs, radio broadcasts, evangelistic crusades that are reaching the world by the thousands or millions. There are people that's willing to reach into their pockets and take their money and give it to people to go out and preach the gospel. And they don't have nearly what we could offer to the world. A sister said this morning that she was in the hospital, and some young elders came to visit her, and she told them that she was from the Church of Christ, and they'd never heard of it. Brothers and sisters, that's not uncommon. Who has heard of us? What kind of an impact are we making upon the world so that they will know about this gospel? Have we taken our candle and lit it and put a bushel over it? Are we willing to put forth the effort to give out financially and out of our lives the time and the dedication that it takes to reach people, to change people's lives, so that they might know about the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That's a big question. Are we willing? Do we want to just go on talking about it and talk about it until we finally pass out of this life? Someone will do the job. The question again was presented to us last night. It's just, will we do it or not? Will we as an individual be the one that will be part of it? And so, as I think of my own life, I think that some of the greatest victories that Satan has over individuals is to tie them all up with things about doctrine and so forth that just make them feel like they can't work together. They can't get together to go someplace to do anything because this fellow believes this way and that one believes some other way, and they can't talk about it, and they can't study it, and they can't pray about it. And Satan just sits and smiles at things like that. He really likes that. And if we have this love that we're talking about, if our lives are spirit-filled, and there's a world out there that's dying in sin, the immorality is rising up in this nation and all over the world at a tremendous rate of speed, how can we sit back in the luxury? Can we afford the luxury of sitting back like we have and watching these things happen? All the laborers are few, and the harvest is great. So great. You know, a lot of times in the past, something like happened to Peter and John that day as they walked into the temple gate and the man was healed, a person that had been lame all their life. These things have been exploited in the world. They have been made to be a show. They have been made to be a test of whether your denomination is true or not. And all of these things. But brothers, to that lame man that day, to that man who had never walked a step in his life, the joy that filled his heart to stand up and walk was that the power of God had released him from the bondage of physical disability. And this is something else that we have to give to the world. If we could have the love in our heart and see everybody that needs this help, what are we holding back? What are we robbing people of? In the Book of Mormon on page 233, I'm just taking one verse here because I think it says what it needs to say. Thus God has provided a means that man through faith might work mighty miracles. And I'm glad it doesn't end there. Therefore, he becometh a great benefit, and I'm glad it doesn't end there, to his fellow beings. Not as a show that your denomination is true. That's not why people should be healed. Yes, it's a sign that should follow the believers, but it's a benefit to your fellow human beings. There's so many people in need. A sister said this morning, there's so many lonely people and all they are. And what a joy it would be to reach them with the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ that would be working and operating in such a way that it would be blessing the souls and the hearts of people and changing their lives and taking them out of depression and guilt and filth and immorality and lifting them up so that they could stand up, not full of pride, but at least in dignity, like the woman that was read from the scriptures this morning, that was a sinner, but she loved the Lord, and she washed his feet with her hair, with an expensive perfume or ointment, and she was rebuked for it. God wants us to show love like that to others, to be a benefit to our fellow human beings. Not to make a show, not to build ourselves up, not to elevate ourselves as faith healers or great ministers or fluent speakers or anything like that, but to be a blessing, to reach out into the lives and the hearts of individuals and help them to have a change. I promised Brother Yates that I could quit in a half an hour.
I never heard that promise.
I say to you, as you would say to me, I love the Lord. And I hope that that expression comes from the depth of my heart and reaches out to your heart. I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he came down here, walked on this earth, and he suffered the same trials and the tribulations that you and I suffer. And he felt pain and hunger. And he got tired and weary. And he felt the pain of the nails as they were driven in his hands and in his feet. And he felt the burden of your sins and mine as he hung there on the cross at Calvary. He felt the afflictions and the sicknesses of you and of me and of everybody from the beginning of the world to the end as he hung there on that cross at Calvary and paid that price. He felt those things, and he did it all for you. And praise his name. Because of that, we have a victory. We have a victory over death and hell and the grave. And the only thing we have to fear is our own failure. Really it is. Many have given so much to this world, have dedicated their lives to it. And yet there's such a job to be done. And we're not really so limited as we think. Other people can reach out and do it, and do it for a less worthy cause. Why can't we? Why can't we reach out to the world with the gospel that changes and affects people's lives? What fruit is in our vineyard? Just be like this piece of clay over here and be molded and shaped. Be content wherever you find yourself. And with whatever you have. And someday, and it could be just tomorrow, tonight, or just whenever, that we really decide to get serious with God and get down and really plead with him and start asking him, Lord, this is your work. It's not our work necessarily. Yes, we're going to have to do it, but it's your work. Tell us how you want it done. Reveal it to us. He can do it. And we can start to move forth with this and touch people's lives. Or we can go on and we can go on and we can keep thinking, well, someday we're going to be endowed with greater power and someday we'll get around to doing all these things. But you know, I just don't know if it'll be us or not if we keep that attitude. Because as each day passes in my life, I'm missing so many opportunities to help other people. to help them to have a better life. I do love you. I'd gladly make that trip up here just to see you, really. I really would. I always enjoy meeting each one of you, shaking your hand, giving you a hug. Some of us are a little bit more emotional, I guess, than others. But I like shaking people's hands and hugging them, stuff like that. It just makes me feel good and close to them. And I look forward to meeting people that I can just feel like, you know, they're part of the family. Just give them a good hug and greet them. And it's worth it all for that. But brothers and sisters, oh, there could be so much more. There could be so much more. And it's up to us. God bless you.